Good evening, one and all. Yes, a Wednesday and another book and a chat here on New Visions Radio with me, your host, Barry Eva. Well, we've had a bit of snow in Connecticut this week. Not much, a couple of inches yesterday, but, reminds us that it is coming up to February almost. It's gone so quickly, as it does when you get old, but that's the way it goes. Well, one of the things I can't comprehend in a lot of ways coming to America is how bad apartheid was in America. Growing up in England, 50s, 60s and that, I don't think we had one person of colour in our school, in my junior school. And I think we did have one the last year when I was 11. So that would be like early 60s. And then in the senior school, not many. And yet, of course, it's... In the 60s, we got a lot of influx people from the West Indies, which reminds me, what do you call a West Indian? Are they African Americans or African West Indian? I don't know. Anyway, so a lot of people from the West Indies came, and after that, it became the norm, especially with the Commonwealth being covers all the sort of Pakistan and India and all the sort of countries that once had pink on the globe were there. But it's very hard to comprehend how bad it was in America. You see sort of things like Jackie Robinson and what happened to him in the baseball and everything like that. Well, my guest today, he is the equivalent of Jackie Robinson, if you like, but in the medical profession. We'll find out a bit more about it because I better introduce him, haven't I? Because on the show today, I have the one and only Augustus A. White the third, or as he's going to allow me to call him, Gus. Hi, Gus. How are you doing?
I'm feeling good. I'm happy to be here with you and looking forward to our discussion, Barry.
Indeed.
I think we'll enjoy it. I hope so.
I'm sure we will. As I said, it's hard for somebody like myself to comprehend how bad it was in America when you were sort of growing up. But when you went to university, even then, you ran into apartheid issues when you went to Brown, wasn't it, university?
Yes. Well, yes, of course. Brown is a wonderful school. It's been a leader, really, in the, I don't know how to gauge the time, but in and around the time of Jackie Robinson, actually, Brown was developing its programs for what we call diversity and inclusion.
Yeah,
and it was a bit ahead of the curve of some of its comparable universities around the country, and it moved forward with some activities that really enriched its ability to have a rich multicultural environment of students from a variety of different ethnic groups and some underrepresented students from the African American community, of which I was one. And in our class, we had of about 500 students, we had about six or eight African American students, and things went well. I mean, it wasn't perfect, but I think Brown was a little bit ahead of the curve, and still is. It still has a lot more activities from a scholarly, intellectual research point of view, as well as around issues of race and ethnicity, and including also some progress, I think, with gender ethnicity issues as well. Yes.
Didn't they cancel some convention or something rather than let you go, though?
Oh, yes. Brown didn't do that, but that was...
Oh, right.
That was the Delta Upsilon fraternity.
Ah, okay.
And they too, ended up a little bit ahead of the curve in a positive way, although... That particular episode of my narrative and my activity with Delta Upsilon fraternity did involve, to fast forward, I was rushed to come into the fraternity my freshman year, and I came in and I worked and I had several positions in the fraternity, rushing chairman, pledge master, and I ended up actually being elected president.
Wow.
Of the Brown chapter of Delta Upsilon. And as president, I was to represent Brown chapter at the National Fraternity. And that was held in Middlebury, Vermont. And I was to go there, but I began to get some calls about did I really want to attend? There might be difficulty. At that time, I was the first African American to be in the fraternity anywhere in the country, I guess. So one thing led to another, and finally, out of concern, out of whatever, the national fraternity decided to cancel the program, to cancel the convention that summer that was going to have representatives coming in from all around the country to participate in their normal fraternity meeting. And they decided to cancel because they were concerned and afraid there might be difficulties.
Mm, indeed, I can understand. But it didn't stop you, did it? I mean, just like, as we say, we keep saying Jackie Robinson because they call you the Jackie Robinson of orthopedics. But you carried on pushing these boundaries back. First African-American graduate at Stanford University Medical School, first surgical resident at Yale, School of Medicine, and it went on like that. Harvard you went to and stuff like that. All the time, I guess, you were pushing the boundaries.
Well, I guess it turns out that's true. And to be fair, there were other things. I think it's fair to say the overall in the country at that time, the boundaries were indeed being pushed by me and others. And I, part of the mantra, as some of us grew up, of making progress in racial issues was to have more and more integration. And so that was beginning to be a little more noticed, a little more practiced. And that that's another factor in the fact that I was coming along at that time. In other words, yeah. I was jumping over the hurdles, but maybe the hurdles were a little bit lower than they had been before my entry.
Now, see, obviously, you know, you push the, you're going through the whole medical thing and that, and you've won awards along the way, definitely. But then, even in the like of the Vietnam War, you were pushing boundaries. You won the Bronze Star for the work you did and stuff like that. Something different. You were sort of looking to broaden things. Was that just, you know, the case of you were there, or was it a case of the you realised that in your case that, you know, there was a Vietnamese leper colony colony which you volunteered for rescue missions and stuff like that. So was that just a case of, you know, that's just you pushing boundaries? Or what happened there?
Well, yeah, I mean, I try to do my thing as well as I can, my job and my work, and I was in medicine because I wanted to help my fellow humans, as I like to say. I wanted to be helpful. And clearly, that opportunity was afforded quite frequently, very, very frequently, very abundantly. There's plenty of things around, plenty of people you could help. And so I was in good health, and I had good cooperation and support. And in particular, one individual who was my commanding officer, John Fagan, who became a lifelong friend of mine. And he supported some of my ideas and ideals. So they and others helped me, and we went out to the leper colony when we didn't have wounded soldiers that we had to take care of back in the hospital. There were a group of us anesthesiologists, a couple of surgeons, and some nurses, and some corpsmen. We'd load up a truck, and we'd take some equipment out to this leper colony, which was sorely in need of surgical professional help. They had wonderful help from the nuns who lived and volunteered there. But anyway, that was an opportunity to help folks, and people helped me to help them, and I went for it, and it was profoundly gratifying. I think people ask me sometimes, you know, which award do I most appreciate or enjoy, and I think the Bronze Star for my work in Vietnam is the answer that I like to give, and I like to do that because it shows my loyalty to my country, and it also gives me license, I think, to try to constructively criticize my country.
Indeed so. That's very, very, very true and honest answer. Interesting you said about the sort of the way you sort of been there to help people and mentor and that, because it is National Mentoring Month, I believe, in January. And with that being the case, you've now brought out a book called Overcoming, Lessons in Triumphing, triumphing over adversity and the power of our common humanity. Now, within this book, what was the aim when you set out to write this book? What led you to write it?
Well, I wanted to share my appreciation and respect and enjoyment of our common humanity. And I recognize that they're all of us, actually, at one time or another, at least over 50% of the population will experience some major adversity, some major tragedy. And I learned from my, I'm not a psychiatrist, but I learned from my study in medicine and other places about resiliency. And I had the privilege of knowing some very resilient individuals, as we all have. And in my mind, these two factors were bouncing around, and recognizing that we all have problems and we all have some source that we're gifted with as human beings, various sources, and various of us use them better and not as well as others. And this book is a report of 20 very different individuals who overcame fantastic, amazing, powerful adversity, and they were able to have resilience and overcome it and survive in varying degrees in a very good, a very nice way. Mm. And I wanted to share, be able to share those experiences with others who may identify with some things and be inspired and encouraged and knowledgeable about how to explore their natural innate resilience and develop it to improve their quality of life. So those are the two points, resilience enhancement based on our common humanity.
Okay. How hard was it to sort of limit it to 20 people? You know, it's one of these things I can think, you sit down and you start and you, oh, yeah, I'm getting there to 20. Oh, crikey, I forgot so-and-so. And, you know, and what about these people? Was that hard for you?
Well, I have two co-authors to help me. And between the three of us, we knew a variety of individuals. And we knew about them and their activities and their lives. And not everyone we asked to be interviewed, to be included in the book, accepted. Now, there were one or two people who didn't for a variety of different reasons. But those who accepted are quite interesting and represent an amazing variety of our fellow humans and different individuals coming from different places and overcoming different forms of adversity. And we think that's, I really believe, we'll find out, we think it'll be helpful to people read the book and choose their heroes and heroines and emulate them in a way that will enhance their own resilience.
That's interesting because I can remember, I must have been 10, so it was like 61, 62, something like that. I won a prize. Might even have been at Sunday school, and I got a book called The Boys' Book of Heroes.
Okay.
And it had, I can remember Grace Darling, the lady who rode to the lighthouse up in Scotland to rescue the people there, and Douglas Bader was one that stuck in my mind, who I then sort of saw later on in the film Reach for the Sky, and that Second World War pilot lost his legs. And then went back flying, got caught, escaped about four times from concentration camps without his legs and stuff like that. And I still remember some of the people in it. I'm sure that your book, Overcoming, will do the same for a lot of people. Can you give us a couple of examples of people that are in the book?
Sure. one is a fellow named Herman Williams. He's an African-American physician who aspired to be an orthopedic surgeon and be the team physician for a professional football team. Mm-hmm. He was a good athlete. He wasn't a superstar athlete, but a good athlete and also obviously a good student and also a musician. And he was playing some sandlot basketball pickup game with some of his friends, and he had a massive heart attack and was very fortunate to survive even. And that was in large part due to the fact some of the people he was playing basketball with were physicians, and they were able to resuscitate him, get him in the hospital. he then went on, and he had to give up, because of the heart condition and his health, he had to give up surgery. His vision was not good. But he sort of found for himself a new life. He went to business school, and he worked hard at many opportunities that he had. And if he was striving to recover in a new life that he was developing, he began to have other serious heart problems as well, more for lack of details right now, call them other heart attacks,
mm-hmm.
which required surgery. And he somehow survived those, and he would keep coming back to his work, and he evolved to be a corporate leader in hospitals, in healthcare. And he's extremely good at conflict resolution. But his courage was to find another life. And he didn't have just one more of these hard
right.
But he had several others. But he just kept coming back. And he's back now, having actually recently, within the last month, had yet another one and had surgery again.
Wow. Is
coming back. But, you know, my wife and daughter I live with, they say I shouldn't pick out people because there's so many of these people who deserve to be recognized. I can't recognize everybody.
Right.
But he is one that I would choose. But I think there are others who are equally impressive and equally inspiring by the things that they have been able to do. There's a transgender person who developed a quality of life and survived. And there's an orthopedic surgeon, a black orthopedic surgeon, who went through and became an expert in orthopedics and tumor surgery in orthopedics, and also became an astronaut.
Wow, right.
As an outstanding achievement among these other things he did. There's a female who is a football player and a Division I specialty coach in football, and she's a coach at Brown University, and she's doing a wonderful job in this rather difficult, challenging occupation for a female, and I find that very interesting.
Yeah, wasn't there some lady just been made coach of, you know, one of the major football teams?
And I don't know who that is, but I did see that.
That's why I asked about how hard it was to pick down these people, you know, because there are so many people out there who unsung heroes sort of thing that to actually put the numbers down. It made me think actually when you were saying about the gentleman and you know, playing basketball, and there were so many doctors there, sort of when he had the heart attack. I remember playing a game of rugby against a hospital training school in England, and somebody got injured, and there was about eight people. You know, it was which doctor was going to look at the injured person first? It can be like that, but anyway. So you've got this. What is the aim of your book? Is it to sort of show people to help them overcome adversity and rise to more inspiration to the heights they can rise to?
Yeah, the thing that will gratify me most is if some people, as many people as possible who read this book will, as a result of emulation others in the book or inspiration or advice or recognition, by reviewing their experience and reviewing the experience of others, will be able to be more resilient in their life, in whatever problems they're facing at this time. Hopefully the knowledge and the example will embolden them and provide for them, mentor for them, if you will.
Right.
Get back to that word.
Yep.
And they'll understand some of the mechanisms of how these people were helped when they read the book and read the comments of the three authors who try to interpret these things in the context of our common humanity.
And obviously, this time, which is pretty dark time we're going through last year or so, obviously it's reading things like this that bring back your faith in humanity a bit, whereas it has been a bit stretched lately, especially here in America. What sort of response have you had so far to the book? I know it's only just come out, but there must be some sort of early readers in that. What sort of response have you had so far?
Well, we've had a couple of reviews that have been very good, but we haven't had a lot of the grassroots response yet, you know, where people are responding, either calling us and telling us how it helped them or it helped them a certain one way or another. But I will be surprised if that does not occur, if that does not happen. I just think that the messages are there, and these human elements speak for themselves. I mean, people can refer to their own experience, either their own personal direct experience or observing experience of their friends or of others, and I think they will recognize the patterns of our common humanity, and hopefully it will be helpful. So I'm going to be happy when and if people call up and say, hey, you know, I read that, and so-and-so, when I read about him, I did this, I did that,
right,
and I read it.
And I think this day and age, people are more open. Well, the majority of people, shall I say, are more open to reading such things and trying to understand and sort of learning and seeing, you know, no matter how dark it can be, you can get through this. You can get through, these times of troubles and find inspiration. And it's a book, this book like you're overcoming, Lessons in Triumph Over Adversity and the Power of Common Humanity. It is books like this that I'm sure more and more people are looking to educate themselves as much as anything else.
Well, I hope we're right. we'll find out, but I will be very surprised if that doesn't happen quite frequently, but because it speaks for itself. We didn't make this up. We didn't make up the stories.
Right.
We didn't make up the common elements of our humanity. We didn't make up the fact that those elements enrich and embolden and strengthen resilience. That's all out there. We just say, hey, here it is.
Right, indeed. Now you've got the book out with the first 20 people. Have you got enough people for another book?
Well, there are plenty of people out there, aren't there?
Yeah.
Well, we have to find them.
Right.
One of my co-authors has brought that up, actually, already. I don't know where we're going to go with that. We'll see. But there, I can tell you this, there are 20 more people out there.
I'm sure. And 20 and 20 and 20. I know. It's just finding them and sort of sharing them, having them agree that you can share their what they went through. Because I'm sure some people, as you said, some people didn't want to be in the book, and some people want to keep these things to themselves or in their past. Did you find? Were there a couple of people like that you came across?
Well. We actually one person saw a withdrawal that we had brought in, and she was a person who felt that her achievements were not as impressive or as deserving of being in the book and so forth. She didn't feel confident. We thought they were. Mm. She was someone who worked very effectively in multicultural issues.
Right.
And I don't want to name her race just because that is inevitably going to establish some bias of why we did or didn't bring her in. But I will say that it's a personal decision. We were disappointed, but we were not the least bit offended. I was not the least bit surprised either that someone might say, well, I'm just not sure I want to do it.
Right.
But otherwise, it went well. People participated enthusiastically and continued to be in touch with us to varying degrees. So that's been gratifying also.
Well, what also has been gratifying is talking to you about this book and what this book's going to do for a lot of people, I'm sure. But time is dragging on, so what I'm going to do now, Gus, is hand the show over to you so you can tell everybody where people can find out more about the book and, of course, you yourself and the other two authors.
Well, I appreciate that, and I will spend that time. How will I know when I've finished?
Just, I mean, you've got 3 or 4 minutes to tell us all about it.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for that privilege, Barry, and thank you for the privilege of being on your show. And, well, my fellow humans, please lend me your ear and let me tell you that if you're interested in knowing more about this book, Overcoming, you can contact Amazon. Just Google them, and you can get plenty of information, detailed information about the book. Some of the interesting people who have sort of given us a testimonial, a positive testimonial to it. We are proud of that, actually. We have several college presidents who have weighed in our support. And we have, if some of you are basketball fans, we have Coach K.
Oh, okay.
You know Coach K.
Yeah.
You're a rugby player, you're an athlete. But he has written a foreword to us, for us. And we have a past president of Harvard University, a past president of Brown University, and actually we have two past presidents of Brown University. We have Arne Duncan, who is a basketball player at Harvard, and he was the Secretary of Education under President Barack Obama. And he has written a little bit about our book as well. So those are the people who thought it was worthwhile and enjoyable and worthy of consideration. Some of the other individuals involved, Lou Sullivan, who was the past Secretary of Health and Human Services, an African-American outstanding leader in health and health care, and he has also endorsed our book.
That's
and
great.
It's published by Post Hill Press. But Amazon can give you, if you Google it, I think you can also get a little more information for it. Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah, Gus, it's been a real pleasure chatting to you on the show. Good luck with the book. And perhaps if you get round to another one, you'll come back and chat to us again.
All right. Well, thank you. I've enjoyed it and look forward to maybe we might meet again.
Indeed.
So, Buck, I've always had a lot of respect for rugby players. I play football,
but
rugby is a little bit tougher than football, in my opinion.
Right, no suits of armor. You're right. Anyway, good luck, and thank you very much.
All right. You the same. All the best. Bye-bye.
Well, there you go. My guest today, Dr. Augustus White III. And we've been talking to him about his great book that's come out called Overcoming, Lessons in Triumphing Over Adversity and the Power of Our Common Humanity. Great book, really interesting. 20 powerful, inspiring profiles of men, women from around the USA. Basically, just awesome and inspiring. Help you reach, you know, against adversity, reach the inspirational heights, defied the odds, overcoming adversity. Adversary. I can't talk, can I? Well, that's great. How about that, eh? Really, really interesting. Well, that's it for today. I'll be back on Sunday with my two musical shows. First of all, between 5 and 6 p.m. Eastern, we have Those Are the Days, music from the 20th century. And our theme this week is Hush, Secrets. No, that's what the theme is. And then after that, from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern, we have the Swinging 60s. Yes, music from the 60s, from not just the British Invasion, but from all around the world. And then next week, I'll be back on Tuesday and Wednesday with Fresh Book and a Chat. Until then, as always, we have one thing left to say. Don't forget... Wait a minute, it's working. Stop your...